Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 14 of Marketing Elements Podcast. And as you know, if you went to the website or saw on Twitter, I did not do an episode last week because I've had the bronchitis that will not go away, and you can probably still hear it. So I didn't have one because I didn't want to ramble on with cold medicine and make absolutely no sense. So, but we're back this week, and we have Chris Kovac with us again. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. We did the first one was integrating social into your marketing communications, and today we're going to do part two, part of the which is the engagement.
Yeah.
So let's start off, because if you're going to do any kind of social media, you need to listen. So what are some good tools to get out there to listen, to see what people are saying about you, your brand, and everything else?
Absolutely. And restating what you just said, you know, we encourage our clients and really people who are looking to enter the social media space, whether you're a small business or you know, Fortune 500 company, to really use software, use tools to listen to the marketplace, to kind of understand where the conversations are taking place, understand maybe some needs out there. Because oftentimes, you know, maybe clients will come to us and they'll say, well, we need a Twitter, and maybe the conversations are not yet on Twitter. Maybe they're in discussion forums or on blogs or on Facebook or something like that. So in the spirit of listening, there are some free tools out there, and you know, so we'll talk a little bit about the free tools and then the paid tools. And before we get into the tools, I think some applications for social monitoring are really to, of course, monitor your own brand and company. Excuse me, right? So we want to make sure that, you know, whether they're products or product extensions or brands, and whether it's for online reputation management or just to kind of keep your finger on the pulse. So I think starting with your own brand, of course, but I think there's a lot of opportunity in monitoring your competitors.
Yes.
And it's always nice to see what they're saying or what people are saying about them. And if they launch a new product, for example, and if it goes over very well, you know, that may be something to address. And maybe if it's not meeting a certain need, that's something that we can maybe even tweak our messaging. So I think the there's a gold mine of data with respect to your competitors, and I would encourage you to kind of listen to see what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And a funny side story real quick. I heard from one of the big agencies here in town, they had a client doing printers, and they found out, because it's a good way to get competitive intelligence, that the competitor was releasing their product in June, so they pushed theirs up to May. Because people will just tweet. So it's very interesting. So watch what you say on Twitter as well. But we'll get into that later.
Yes. And then finally, the marketplace issue. So they may not be talking about brand names. And this is a little bit more for business-to-business marketing folks. But you know, they may not be necessarily talking about your brand or the competitors, but they may be talking about a very relevant marketplace issue. It could be in relation to healthcare or aerospace. And so we have kind of peers talking with each other. And so it's important that kind of on an issue, marketplace issue basis, to kind of understand, well, what are they saying about this certain topic, and are they including brands in the conversation yet? And if not, you know, to me, that's a wonderful opportunity to kind of be the first to market and to establish some thought leadership. So, you know, kind of, again, at a macro level, it's kind of, you know, our brands, the competitors, and then the marketplace issues. So there are a lot of free tools out there. So this space has really progressed over the last 6 months, and the tools have gotten pretty sophisticated. So, you know, I would encourage folks that if you're kind of new to the social monitoring space, to kind of start with the free tools first, and then once you're comfortable, you know, kind of dip your toe in the water, and then maybe take a look at some of the more paid and more sophisticated tools.
Definitely.
So there's a handful of tools that I want to go over specifically, and Tim, you're probably familiar with Google Alerts,
yes,
right? And I think that's something that most, you know, PR folks and marketing folks, at least for their own brands, they have set up. And I would also encourage you to even set up a Google Alert for your own name. And that was something that came out of the last Integrated Marketing Summit conference up in Minneapolis. And because you never know, or maybe even key executives from your competitors. So Google Alerts are very easy to set up, good, almost real-time information, and that's a great tool. I think, you know, some more, not more sophisticated tools, but some other tools we like to use are social mention.
Yes.
That's a multi-channel, so you can do, I believe, photos and videos and Twitter, and I'm not sure if they do Facebook, but it's definitely a pretty solid free tool.
Yeah, they don't do Facebook, but I know they do blogs, and there's like a whole list of like 10 things they search.
Yeah, and the information's really easy. I like the format, so it's just socialmention.com. Another one is Topsy.com, T-O-P-S-Y, and that's a Twitter search. And the great thing about Topsy is it actually tracks tweets back 6 months.
Wow.
So even with some of the paid tools that you can only go back maybe 30 or 90 days, so it's a great resource. And especially if you're kind of new to Twitter, if your company's just recently been on Twitter in the last 6 months or so, you can actually see, you know, maybe where some of the retweets were and to see who else was kind of talking about you or you know, kind of talking about your Twitter account. But it's pretty much Twitter only, and it also does like Twit Pics or you know, Twitter-based photos. It captures both of those. Pretty great tool. And there's another one that's kind of a quasi-free tool that's also got some paid services, and that's Tracker, and that's T-R-A-C-K-U-R. And it does have email alerts and some other kind of nice features to it. It is multi-channel. I do believe they have a free tool that you can use, and then they also have some kind of very reasonably priced subscriptions that you can utilize as well. And so there's a couple more. One is Monitor This. .com, of course, and that's another multi-channel search. You know, typically Facebook is closed network, so usually it's Twitter and YouTube and Flickr and some of the multimedia type stuff, but that's another one that we found to be of value. These tools also tend to find a lot of the good information. Some of the tools, you may miss out on some of the conversations. And then finally, another good one is Currently, which is spelled with a K, K-U-R-R-E-N-T-L-Y.com, and it actually does Twitter and Facebook. So I don't know if they work with Facebook directly or if they, you know, built some APIs or something, but those are a handful of free tools that I kind of recommend you take a look at, do a little bit of exploring. And if you're interested in kind of reading more about it or becoming a student, I would Google social monitoring tools, and there's a lot of blog conversations about pros and cons for all these tools. And actually, as an agency, we're working on a white paper as well to kind of have a table that says, you know, this tool is good for, you know, searching Twitter, and this one's better for Facebook and discussion forums and blogs. So we hope to have that really by the end of this month. So, you know, those are some free tools that I'd encourage you to check out.
Yeah, because and every day there are more and more free tools. So
yes,
every time you turn around, there's something new. So,
and you know, people like Brian Solis, who is a great thought leader, he would argue that you don't even need the paid tools. I like the paid tools, and that may be a good segue to talk a little bit about the paid monitoring tools. The reason I like, you know, the paid tools is it organizes the data. Typically, these tools organize the data with a lot of different dashboards and reports and widgets. So you can really drill down, and you can set the date ranges, and you can really drill down into the conversations, really regardless of the channel. So, you probably heard about Radian 6,
yeah.
and they certainly have a, you know, they're out there and very aggressive in the marketplace. But we've actually explored, we were a client of Radian 6, and we've kind of moved on to some other vendors. But the two I really want to talk about quickly is kind of the out-of-the-box concept versus enterprise. You know, that's like Google Analytics versus Omniture or Web Trends and kind of the more sophisticated platforms. PR Newswire, we actually work with both of these vendors, and PR Newswire is a newswire company, and they've also gotten into a lot of social media stuff and social news releases. They have a very reasonably priced paid tool. We're actually a channel partner with them, so we've got some pretty good discounts there, but it has a dashboard. You can get in for, you know, especially if you go through us, a couple hundred bucks a month, I mean, a very low price point. And sometimes, you know, those tools will organize the data. They'll actually build PDFs for you, so you can click, you know, I want this particular trend, and I want this tag cloud, and I want some snippets of conversations over here, and it'll build the report.
Oh, cool.
Because, Tim, you know, oftentimes social media, you know, professionals get asked, well, you know, are we really moving the needle here? And that's something that's very clean, that you can just hit a button, it'll email the PDF, and you can kind of go to your more senior folks and say, yes, you know, social media works, and see, you know, we had these retweets, and our news releases got picked up here, and, you know, here were the comments, and here were the videos that were posted, and all that kind of good stuff.
Cool, yeah, now, that's important if you could have a duty report for you. That's awesome.
Yes, and not only that, the other cool thing I like about most of these tools, and I think most tools have it now, but kind of the engagement piece, and that is similar to Salesforce.com, you can actually click on a box, and maybe it was a PR request. So you could click it and say, you know, we need to route it to our PR folks over here. Or if it was maybe a web issue that maybe one of the pages weren't working, we could route it around to the web. Or if it was a product question, we could route it around to the appropriate party. So it's got built-in engagement tools that you can kind of keep track and make sure that you are following up, and people can go in there and you know people using the software can make comments and can actually talk to their peers within the tool.
Cool.
And these tools continue to progress. Every 3 months is really like a year or two. So the technology is moving very quickly, and the costs are finally coming down, because at first they were not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still, you know, some of them are still not necessarily cheap, but there are some other tools that you can get for some pretty reasonable prices. Now, the other one is kind of the jet fighter of monitoring tools, and that's Nielsen Buzzmetrics. And, you know, we vetted the top 15 monitoring companies. We did an RFI. We had them come in and talk to our group. And Nielsen owns all their own data, so they're a data company, right? And
mm-hmm.
So they've got all their data archived all the way back to 2005. So, and the way that they slice and dice the data is unbelievable, very powerful. It does take some resources to invest, you know, HR-wise, to make sure that you're using the tool, because the worst thing is if it just sits there idle, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that price point, you know, you're looking probably in the, you know, frankly, in the mid five figures, all the way up to six figures. It's an enterprise level solution, and typically for Fortune 500 type companies who are really immersed in social media and really are starting to do a lot of engagement. So, again, I think, you know, and kind of summing it up, that, you know, start with the free tools and move on to the paid tools. But one way or the other, we really encourage you to listen.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. And even before you get in and after, because I saw something this past week. He was, Dave Rollo, who's been on the podcast a while back, he mm-hmm. spoke at a lunch I was at, and it's like, what was our lunch this week? I don't remember. Reputation management. So it's kind of
okay.
Similar. And he's like, you listen, you go in, you change up your message, you interact, and then you do it all over again. So because you have to keep listening, you just can't go out, you can't treat, the best thing I've heard about social media is you can't treat it like a campaign, because it's not. It's an ongoing living thing that you have to go through and manage and keep on top of. You can't say, oh, we want to do this in 30 days and then we're done.
Absolutely.
So I was like, that was brilliant.
And something else these tools can really help with is you know, identifying that you're moving the needle and then helping you build one-on-one communications, because I think a lot of companies think of social media as another broadcast medium, which we've kind of talked about,
mm-hmm.
You know, both online and offline. But I think, you know, by using, like, identifying who the influencers are, and that's really the other key, that who is out there talking about your brand already, who is already a brand champion, and how can you continue to build relationships with those kinds of folks. Very quickly, on a tangent, we actually had a Dunkin' Donuts come in to Kansas City, and, you know, I've familiar with Dunkin' Donuts from the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, great donuts and coffee, of course. And I wasn't aware until I saw my, you know, peers tweeting about it, and they were really, really passionate. So if I was Dunkin' Donuts, I would want to make these people really happy, because they already are brand champions. They're already tweeting, and the Dunkin' Donuts hasn't even opened here.
Yeah,
I think they just opened about a month ago. But so, you know, identifying kind of the movers and shakers, if you will, within the channel is very important, because somebody could be very influential on Twitter, but maybe there's other people in the blogosphere that also have some influence. So making sure that you identify those folks.
The funny thing about Dunkin' Donuts, I heard the other week that people in Boston are so gung-ho on their Dunkin' Donuts that they're down to the location. And they love their location, and they tweet, and they do all sorts of stuff about the locations better than the one across the street or down the road. So I think Dunkin' Donuts is cashing in on social now because of that, because they have so many loyal and really good fans of theirs that are just so enthusiastic that they've done they're starting to do really good in social media. But it just amazed me when they told me that. I'm like, a store? They're like, yeah, they will not go to any other store. This is the only store they will go to. And I'm like, wow. So,
you know, that would be a great case study if the folks out at Dunkin' Donuts are listening. But, you know, I'd love to see, you know, how they, you know, I've also been talking a lot about clusters lately and how do you kind of build those ecosystems and get those clusters of just diehards who love your brand. And not only that, you know, when I was at the Integrated Marketing Summit, and kind of again on another tangent, Brian Smith, who is the interactive and social media guy at Best Buy, you know, we were talking about frenemies or enemies are good, right? Mm-hmm. Because people, you know, especially with Best Buy, there's so many advocates and there's so many Best Buy champions that the marketplace really defends the naysayers.
Yes.
And they say, well, you know, so way, you had one bad experience at Dunkin' Donuts, right? Or you had one bad experience at the store, you know, that's atypical. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of kind of peer defense as well. And again, kind of using those tools to identify, you know, who's leading those charges.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing in social media you have to do.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is get those big fans that'll defend you so you don't have to. Your fans will do it for you.
Absolutely. And ask those core groups, how would you like to engage us through social media? And really what we're talking about here is needs-based communications, right?
Yeah.
Because if I'm Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, maybe people aren't interested in coffee, maybe or free coupons for a free coffee or something. Maybe they're interested in the new coffee flavors coming out, or maybe they're interested in, you know, new donuts. And so it's important to really kind of listen and really ask the marketplace, well, what's your expectation? What would you like to hear? You know, maybe they want certain promotions in Twitter that they don't want on Facebook. So, again, you know, we need to tailor it, the social media communications, you know, and really meet some needs. Or else I don't think we're going to be relevant.
Definitely. So I guess we'll talk about some of the benchmarks that you should set up before you actually go into social media. What's your purpose for being there?
Yeah, I would say sentiment would be one. You know, most companies have both positive and negative sentiment. So how can we maybe move the sentiment needle in a positive direction? So maybe we have some people out there who may be unhappy, and maybe by kind of listening and meeting their needs, you know, maybe they're asking questions on Twitter or, you know, maybe they're blogging about a bad experience. So kind of going back to your comment about online reputation management, making sure that you know, we're increasing positive sentiment, that we're decreasing negative sentiment as much as we can. I think that's a pretty solid measure. And that's where, you know, the sentiment really is on the paid tools. There are some sophisticated algorithms that go into that and whatnot. But, you know, some other things, too, are things like retweets, the number of followers that you get based on how often you're tweeting. So there was a gentleman by the name of Mark Collier. I think that's his last name. And he actually did a week-long kind of study, and he posted nonstop. And so when he posted, he would see a direct correlation with the number of people that follow him and the number of conversations that he actually seeded. So, you know, kind of pay attention to, you know, after some tweets, are you moving the needle? Are you driving people to the website? You know, are you even maybe driving people to a newsletter, maybe a coupon offering? But, of course, are you also getting people to retweet your message? There's other tools like Bitly, bit.ly, that you can track who's retweeting you, and it'll track by day and things like that, by time period. And, you know, the number of followers, which I've kind of already talked about, I, you know, for me, it's about the quality of followers,
definitely,
not necessarily the quantity. So, you know, I don't think anyone cares if 10,000 spammers are following you. But let's say you had five CEOs or, you know, five media people from your local market. So to me, those people can be very, very influential. So, you know, I would start kind of with the basics, and then you can kind of move into, you know, more sophisticated. Are we seeing spikes after social news releases, and how can we make sure that those conversations don't die on the vine, and, you know, how can we drive comments and things like that?
Definitely. And then back to Bitly for a minute. If you put in your URL into Bitly, it'll also show you how many times people clicked your link, but it also show you everyone who shortened it. So if it's back to your site or something, you can see, oh, you clicked 47 times out of 500. So you can see how many people are actually sharing your information as well, which is a good thing.
That's a great point, Tim, and that's something that we sent out a news release because we were a partner with the Integrated Marketing Summit, and people just it was tweeted like 50 times in the day, but they weren't retweeting anyone. They were just seeing the news release and actually putting the tweets out there, and that was surprising. And I actually built some relationships there that I wouldn't have otherwise had. So I'm a big fan of that. And then of course there's some other tools out there as well.
Definitely.
And then, you know, while I'm on the Twitter tangent, there's also a couple free tools to help manage Twitter, and Tim, I'm sure you're familiar with these, but sites like TweetDeck, which I think, you know, most people are familiar with anymore, but also Hootsuite and CoTweet. And what those will do is kind of embed a lot of the tracking and the URL shorteners within their tools. So I would also encourage you to really use technology to help manage your own time and resources, and it makes it really easy. You know, I like TweetDeck because it'll give you a little beep if somebody replies to you or sends you a DM. So that way, you know, especially if you're, you know, a company, that you can respond fairly quickly. And, you know, maybe if you're using a traditional Twitter on the web, that maybe you'll miss that reply or something like that. So I really encourage you. And all these tools are free, and they're pretty easy to use.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm big on Hootsuite, so I love it.
And even scheduling tweets, too.
You can schedule tweets, manage your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn. The list goes on. A good friend in town works for the company that owns CoTweet, and they're about to do the same thing. So, and keep checking back on all the tools every so often, because it seems like every other week they release something new.
Absolutely.
So it's just because you learn it this week, and 2 weeks is going to something new's coming. So because I had dinner with friends of mine who are in marketing, and they're like, I love Hootsuite, but I can't do Facebook pages. And I'm like, yes, you can. They're like, what? I'm like, I've been doing it for 6 months since it came out. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, go add it. And so I'm like, yeah. So every tool keeps adding more and more and more every month. So.
And Tim, what a great point. Ask your peers. Ask your friends. You know, it could be coworkers. It could be people that you meet at lunch and learns or social media clubs or things like that. But, you know, I don't think there's any definitive answers. But ask your friends and say, well, how do you use it? And, you know, what do you find to be the best? And, you know, in talking with my peers, CoTweet's really, you know, come up that they're really doing a lot of upgrades. So,
definitely.
You know, ask and you know, read up on blogs. And then, as you said, things change so fast. You know, make sure you keep up with Mashable.com and some other sources to make sure that you're not missing out.
Well, another area that it may seem, especially if you're involved in social media, well, go to the basic social media presentations, webinars, because inevitably they're going to show you some tool that you don't know about.
Absolutely.
Because it changes so often. That's what I tell friends is like, why are you doing a basic like seminar or a basic webinar? I'm like, because they're going to tell me something I didn't know. Because I'm like, social changes so fast and technology, everything. I'm like, you're going to learn something new, even if it's just a basic and you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. So
Absolutely. That's,
I found Get Clicky that way, which is an analytics, which is a real-time analytics. So it's really cool. And then it's just same as Google Analytics, but it's real-time. It'll tell you who's on your site, what they're doing right then, and give you the numbers updated instead of once a day like Google Analytics. So.
And that's Get Clicky?
Get Clicky. I think it's getclicky.com, but if not, Google it.
Sure.
And because
that's one I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, so. And it's two, and I keep two analytics on my site because you never know when something's going to happen. Like,
right.
one may go down one day, or you may have like an abnormal spike in traffic and you're going, what is this? So you'll check the other one to make sure it's actually there and not something wrong going wrong. So yeah, so that's a good way to check it, and it's real time. It's free, and then you can get paid versions as well. You get more, of course, more with the paid, but the free ones just like who's on it, what are they doing, what's their keywords, they're searching. So
great tool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I found it through one of the basic seminars. I think it was a WOMA seminar,
yeah.
And they were like, "Try." I'm like, I haven't heard that. So yeah. So there's always something new coming along, and there's always, you can't keep up with that no matter how hard you try.
Absolutely.
So don't, I tell everyone, don't get upset if you can't keep track on social media, can't keep on top of the latest thing. No one can. So you just got to learn.
There are no experts, only students, I think. So it's, you know, just read up and you know, the other thing is by kind of immersing yourself in it and reading it, you know, you will become an expert and you will be savvy in using these tools. And it doesn't take, you know, all that much time to learn.
Definitely. You can be up to speed in about a month or so.
Well, I know that we talked about listening. you know, we should probably talk about, okay, well, all that sounds good, but what kinds of content can we put out there, right?
Definitely.
And so what we do at a very top level is really segment your audiences. So I don't think that you're going to have a message for every single person. So let's say if you're a B2B, you need to create awareness internally, you know, probably let your employees and your, you know, staff know that you're going to be on social media and kind of what you're doing. It could be media folks that you probably need to have, you know, your Twitter pitches and your social news releases ready for those folks, and, you know, maybe even be distributors and retailers to let them know that you're going to enter the social media channel and hear kind of the best practices, and you know, for maybe trying to find new distributors or retailers, and then finally the end users. So really segment your audience as much as you can, and then figure out how to really tweak your messages by channel. And we would start really with an editorial calendar. So maybe if you're familiar with a PR editorial calendar, mm-hmm. or maybe it's a blogger calendar. And I think 3 months of content, you know, to think 3 months out, I think is fair. I think it's reasonable. And I think, you know, just kind of brainstorm. Do we have any trade shows coming up? Do we have any, if we're retail, do we have any events? Do we have any, you know, specials coming up? Do we have any new product launches that we want to kind of increase awareness of? So start with the editorial calendar. And really that, you know, I'm encouraging companies to really tell your story. I'm so fascinated, whether it's small companies or larger companies, everyone's got a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think almost without exception, that story is very compelling.
Definitely.
So, you know, and how can we tell a story? And you know, the new buzzword now is content's king and marketing's queen. And I don't necessarily buy that 100%. But I think the point is, yeah, well, let's look for low-hanging fruit. Let's look for opportunities to create content. So, you know, one of the things that we advise our clients, because, of course, everyone's budget conscious and everyone's trying to do more with less, right? So maybe it's a product demo that was animated, or maybe it was a video, and maybe it was a couple years old, and maybe it's kind of, you know, gotten a little bit stale, if you will. But maybe updating it, putting a new voiceover on it, maybe adding some new animation, maybe kind of segmenting those demos. So instead of a 5-minute demo, that you have 4 1-minute kind of, you know, kind of very top level talking points that you can put on YouTube or even embed in your site. It could be things like plant tours, old tours, and maybe it's on traditional video. And again, with tools now, it's very easy to translate that over to the online video channel. And of course, to make it, you know, to search optimize it and make it easy to be found in the search engines. Things like white papers. I was joking with a consultant, and we were talking about white papers, and I don't think anyone reads white papers anymore. I think they tend to sit on your desk and collect dust, because who's got the time to read a 15-page white paper?
Well, I think they read bits and pieces.
Right, and that's a good point, because what if we were to translate that into some V papers, right? Some video white papers, and again, to maybe have 2 minutes and to talk about one particular section. And then, of course, podcasting, which
definitely
you're well versed in. So, but really think about, you know, how can we create content out there? How can it, you know, it needs to be relevant, of course. We don't want to be overly self-glossing. But I think that there's a lot of things, and using equipment, podcasting equipment, Skype, or even the Flip Minnow cameras, which I think are under a couple $100 now, and it's high-definition video. So I'd really encourage you to think about that and really see maybe what other people have done, or kind of going back to the listening, maybe your competitors have started to put out a lot of video content, or maybe that they have a lot of testimonials from trade shows and things. So just kind of be a student of the marketplace, and I think some ideas will kind of pop out at you.
Definitely.
And now there's user-generated content, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to go out there, and so let's go back to the Dunkin' Donuts example. You know, how cool, at least you know for me, how cool and compelling would it be to invite people to take photos of the new shop, or the new store, I should say, to, you know, have a Foursquare swarm there, you know, those kinds of things, to have people bring in video cameras and really, really share their experience, because I think a lot of brands are all about experiencing their brands. I go to Dunkin' Donuts for the experience, right? I don't go there to get a donut and a cup of coffee, and the same thing for Starbucks. And we're seeing a lot of that, a lot of user-generated content on Flickr, certainly on YouTube. So, and maybe even have some in-store equipment as well. Again, very cheap equipment that if people are passionate, maybe record a 30-second testimonial from them. So I think there's a lot of things that you can do with existing content. I think you can create content relatively cost-effectively. But, you know, make sure that you kind of go back to the basics, right? That, you know, we start with an objective, that, you know, what's the one thing that we're trying to do here? You know, are we trying to, you know, get people to experience our brand? Are we trying to increase awareness? Are we trying to move the sales needle in some way? And then think about what you're doing maybe in the offline world if you're starting to run ads and things like that, and then use that as kind of a driver for your editorial calendar. And at first it may be there may be a little bit of work, but companies like Garmin have actually made an art of this, and this is something that they maybe spend, their corporate PR folks may spend a half hour to 45 minutes per week thinking about this and actually executing tactically. So you know, I would, content's the king. And then finally, you know, search engines love content.
Yep.
Right, Tim? And so, you know, what I've been saying lately is we need to own the SERP, and the SERP's a fancy word for search engine results page. But think about it, especially if you owned an issue. So let's say there was a gentleman from Forrester, Chad, who spoke at the Integrated Conference, and he was talking about luxury cars and how Hyundai was trying to break into that market. But what if you typed in luxury cars and the first page was Hyundai.com, the second page was the Hyundai Twitter channel, the third was the Hyundai YouTube channel, the fourth was all the pictures on Flickr, and you will own the top five or even more rankings. So I think the bigger you can expand your footprint in the marketplace, the more visible you can be, the more content you have, I think you'll really benefit both in the short term and the long term.
Definitely, yeah. That's a very important thing, especially the more content you have, the higher you'll be up on the search pages. And if you do have something bad, like user-generated, it'll get pushed down further because it's your content and you come out with more and more and it's more relevant. And it's
newer. That's a great point.
So,
and then even add things like the share this icon, or, you know, making sure, and anymore, these kind of scripts are very easy to implement, but, you know, make sure it's easy to dig, make sure it's easy to stumble, you know, to buzz up on Google and things like that.
Definitely. Because if you make it easy, it'll happen, because Hootsuite does that for their Hootlet. So I can push, there's a little button you stick on your bar of your browser, and if you want to share an article, and right away you just click Hootlet, it'll copy the address, it'll shorten the address, do the title, and you can type in what you want, and then just hit tweet. It's been amazing. That's why, another reason I love Hootsuite.
Well, and I used Hootsuite a while ago, and I've kind of gone back to TweetDeck, but, you know, I'll have to check out that feature, because, again,
yeah,
I mean, that's something I wasn't really aware of, and So I learn something new every day, or maybe several things.
Yeah, it's newer. Like I said, you got to pay attention, because they'll release something and it'll be like, oh, we'll release this, and don't announce it for a couple of days, and finally it looks in the email and it's like, whoa, what's this? So yeah.
Exactly.
So that happens in everything social media. So look at Facebook. A month ago they were kind of there, and now they're trying to take over the web. So
yeah,
I'm just like,
doing a pretty good job of it.
I'm like, wow, okay. So yeah, I told a friend, I think it was on one of his podcasts, talking about social search, and I was like, I don't know what Facebook is doing. I was like, they're kind of there, and then all of a sudden, up, I guess they were doing something. They just kept it really quiet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are great tips to get started, and when you get going, to get it going, and to keep it going, actually. Excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think for our next podcast, we'll kind of get into, you know, some additional, okay, so if we have the content, what are the channels we can kind of market that, right? And how can we integrate, because, I mean, I think that's the title of our podcast here, you know, how can we integrate social media into some of our traditional marketing and really get a holistic bang for our buck?
Definitely, because you got to integrate them to really see a good use of all the technology, and they go together quite well, so you can all work together, so...
And the teaser for the next one is, you know, make sure if you are promoting your Twitter and Facebook, that not a lot of companies actually put the URL. So yeah. Make sure it's easy to find, because, you know, there's a lot of spammers out there, and there's a lot of people trying to trick you. So I would call out the URL very specifically.
Definitely. Yeah, usually.
In the end.
Usually when I do that, I'll go to the website and click the follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Because I've had a few that you type it in, and you're like, what is this? This isn't it. And then you get frustrated. So now it's just like, well, just go to the site, make sure you have it on your site, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, so it's clickable and go. That way you don't have the problem of people going, I'm not going to follow you because it's just too much trouble.
Right.
So, cool. Well, thank you again. It was really good and really informative today.
Well, thanks for the invitation, and always enjoy the conversation. And you know, if anyone has any questions about this stuff, don't hesitate to contact him, and we can certainly, I'd be more than happy to have an offline conversation as well.
Definitely. And just tell them where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. It's at Chris Kovac, all one word, and that's C-H-R-I-S-K-O. V as in Victor, AC. And I actually just relaunched my blog a couple of weeks ago, and trying to really add some more compelling content there. And that's myname.com, which is chriskovac.com. And it has access to all my Flickr and all my LinkedIn and all that good stuff, too. So, like I said, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. And I enjoy talking about this with folks.
Cool. Well, thank you again. And we'll have the second part probably in another 2 weeks. Or, I mean, not the second, the third part in another 2 weeks. And we will talk to y'all then.
I will look forward to that, Tim.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Elements Podcast. You can reach me at Tim at MarketingElementsBlog.com. You can find us on the web at MarketingElementsBlog.com. Look for us on Facebook or find us on Ning. It's MarketingElements.Ning.com. Thanks again, and we'll have another podcast out to you very soon.